you have sin in your life? I know that I do. Today, we're going to discuss what we can do to take care of those awful sin habits. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. We're currently in a series on 1 John, a little book in the New Testament, but one that's caused a lot of confusion. Today, we're going to discuss the principles of fellowship as a continuation of our last discussion. So let's jump right in with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
We are continuing our series covering the epistles of John, and we've been discussing this idea of fellowship with God. We discovered that the first principle of fellowship with God is that we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. You become born again in a moment, the moment you believe in Jesus for everlasting life. That's the one requirement. There's nothing else required. Whoever believes in Him has everlasting life. That's the one condition. But now what do you do? What do you do after that? You need to grow as a Christian. It's possible for a Christian to be walking in the darkness, to be living a life that is not pleasing to God, living a life of sin. It's possible for a Christian to be living a legalistic life where they're following meticulously the rules set up by their church and still be in darkness. The principle here is you have to walk in the light. That is the truth of God's word. Being in a church that is proclaiming the promise of life clearly and following the truth, not legalism necessarily. Well, we're going to continue our discussion now starting at verse 8. Let me read it for us.
Sure.
It says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us."
This is one of three false statements. The first one we saw in verse 6, if we say, and then it ends with, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. As we're going to see in verse 10, there are some people who say they haven't sinned in an awful long time, maybe years or decades. They're claiming to be sinlessly perfect.
Can I say I've met people like that? I was in Montreal. I remember I was a young Christian, and I met this street preacher. And he had said he had not sinned in 25 years.
Wow.
And his son, his like 10-year-old son, was with him. And he said, and my son has not sinned in 2 years. And when I looked at his son just kind of looked very sheepishly at me. Like he was obviously dragged out here by his dad. And he's like, I haven't sinned in 2 years.
Or 2 minutes.
Or 2 minutes, yeah. It's amazing to me that there are people who would actually make that claim.
Right. In verse 8, it's slightly different. Verse 8 is if we say we have no sin. And the point here seems to be we can never say, I have come to the point where I don't have any sin in my life for an extended period of time. I haven't sinned in 5 hours. I haven't sinned in a day. If I come to the point where I say, you know what, I don't have any sin at this point in my Christian experience. Maybe I did 4 hours ago, but I have no sin. We're wrong. We're deceiving ourselves. I like to think of it like an iceberg. We talk about the tip of an iceberg. Well, why do we use that expression, the tip of an iceberg?
Because most of the iceberg is unseen beneath the surface.
Right. How much is below the water? What percentage is below the water? 80, 90, 95%, right, below
right.
the water?
That's right.
Well, I think the same thing is true for us as Christians. If God were to reveal to us at the moment of the new birth all that was wrong with us, I believe we'd all have nervous breakdowns.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so what God does is He reveals our sins to us gradually over time, and that's part of the growth process. But this also means that we can never say that we have no sin.
In verse 7, he says, one of the principles of fellowship is that we have to walk in the light. Here he's saying, but you have to be realistic. No one can say they don't have any sin.
Right. It seems to me the point that he's saying here is we need to recognize that even if I'm not aware of any sin in the last hour, that doesn't mean I haven't sinned.
Right.
It just means I'm not aware of any sin. So I can never really say I have no sin because it's arrogant to say that.
Right. And fellowship with God we saw that in verse 7, fellowship with God depends on being cleansed continually by the blood of Christ. So it requires humility on our part. It requires realism about our true spiritual state, that there's never any point where we outgrow the need for Jesus' forgiveness.
That's right. In the next verse, which is coming up, he's going to deal with the fact that, okay, what do we do when we actually recognize some sin in my life? Now it's no longer below the water. Now I see the tip of the iceberg.
Right. If the truth is we all have sin in our life, well, what do we do about that? Well, that's verse 9. So let me read that. If we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, what a great provision. It's amazing. God knows exactly who you are. He knows that you're a sinner. He knows it better than you do because we're not always aware of it, like you say, and he has made provision for that.
Many people suggest, and I think they're right, that this is one of the key fellowship verses in the entire New Testament, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that is, if we agree, the word confess is homologeo. It basically means to agree.
Let's talk about that, because there are some Christian churches that have a very, very strong idea of what confession is. You go into a particular box, you just spill your guts to a priest or something. Is that what John's talking about in 1 John 1:9?
No, he's talking about confessing directly to God, not with an intermediary, with some priest between us and God, but the only one between us and God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we go through the blood of Christ, we acknowledge our sins. I'm aware of some sin, and I acknowledge it to God.
Okay, well, what about the emotional component? How emotional do you have to be for this to work?
That's a great point. The issue is not how upset we are about our sin, how angry we are about our sin. The issue is, are we honest about our sin? Now, obviously, if we want to do it again, that's also something we need to confess. Don't get me wrong. But if I am acknowledging my sin to God, I'm doing what God asks. There's something about the process of acknowledging our sin that God uses to change our thinking. And ultimately, as our minds are renewed, our behavior is transformed, right? Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Confession has a transformative effect on us.
All right. So in order to have our sins forgiven and cleansed, we need to confess, and we have to light the right candles, and we have to say the Our Father, and we have to use our prayer beads. I mean, that's what he says, right?
No prayer beads, no candles, no Hail Marys or Our Fathers.
But this is what I love about this passage. Salvation is completely non-legalistic. You simply believe and you receive eternal life. But also, guess what? Being forgiven and cleansed is also non-legalistic.
Yes, and notice here, Sean, I think we see the tip of the iceberg and the iceberg below the water in verse 9. If we confess our sins, you already mentioned, plural, okay? So we're aware of sins throughout the course of a day and we acknowledge them to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we're confessing these sins. And then he says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is more than the sins we confess. One of my seminary professors illustrated it this way. Imagine a man is wearing a totally white suit. He's got on white shoes, white socks, white tie, white suit, everything else. And he somehow gets some mud or some spots on his suit. And he looks down and he sees a couple of spots. Maybe he's got one on his shoulder and he's got one on his knee. And he acknowledges those spots. Well, he doesn't realize that there's also spots on the back. And there's some on his leg on the back. He doesn't see those spots. But when he acknowledges the spots that he sees, guess what? His suit is now white again.
That's grace. That is grace.
It is grace.
You do what you know. As you said before, God doesn't reveal all of our sins to us all at once. We would die of shock.
Right.
He does it slowly. So what we should do is, the moment that you have a sin that comes to mind, confess the known sin.
Exactly. I would like to just say a word about confession. You've already talked about it to some degree. It seems to me confession is not we have to pull the car over to the side of the road and park the car and take a time of special prayer and say certain special words. confession is acknowledging to God that we have sinned. Now, that is typically done through a prayer, but it doesn't mean I'm necessarily bowing my head. It doesn't mean necessarily I'm stopping what I'm doing. Some people call this a sky telegram. You know, I'm just shooting up a prayer to God. I'm acknowledging it to God. And we don't want to get legalistic about this. I mean, there was a time in my Christian life when I thought, when I confessed my sins, I had to kind of exhale, physically exhale to say, I'm confessing my sins. And then I would inhale to say, I'm asking God to take control of my life.
It's just amazing the kinds of things that churches will come up with, right?
Exactly. And I mean, there was some good to that, but the problem with it was I began to think there was something special about exhaling and inhaling. No, it's acknowledging my sins to God. And when I do that, He cleanses from those sins and also the ones I'm unaware of. We don't have to take spiritual inventory all day long and go, oh, I hope I didn't forget any. Of course you forgot some. Now, one good thing you and I both found out is if you get married, you get some help on finding out, right?
Well, someone might come along. I don't know. I've never met a person like this, but someone might come along and say, I don't have anything to confess. Well, then let me suggest that verse 10 applies to you.
Right.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. God says that you have sinned. God says that you have sins to confess. So you need to listen. You need to be realistic about where you stand with God. If you have never believed in Jesus for everlasting life, I invite you to believe in him for that right now. You can do it anywhere. You don't need to do anything other than just to believe in Jesus' promise. But if you're a believer and you want to grow in your relationship with God, I would encourage you to be realistic about the sin in your life. In order to have fellowship with God, one, you need to be walking in the light, and that means recognizing your sin. And two, you need to be confessing those sins. Confessing your sins to God is just as easy as believing in him for everlasting life. It just means making a mental agreement that, yes, I do have that sin in my life. And just believing in God to forgive you and to cleanse you of it all.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion all about fellowship. Well, as a listener, you may be wondering how you can go deeper on subjects like this or others that you've heard on the broadcast. If that's the case, the best place to go is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Our website is packed with all kinds of resources that can help you grow. And the best part, most of those resources are free. We have a free subscription to a great print magazine that I think would really benefit you. We have free videos that you can watch. We have podcasts. We've got blog posts. We even have a bookstore if you are a reader. You can find information about upcoming events that we do all around the country. You can even make a tax-deductible donation to help us continue the work we're doing. Maybe you've got questions or comments. I'm an inquisitive guy. I understand. We'd love for you to reach out to us. In fact, we are excited every time we hear from listeners. So I'm going to give you our email address. It's really easy to remember. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about something that comes with a big word, propitiation. We're going to discuss the propitiation of the world. Come back tomorrow for that great discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.